Sadie. Welcome, everyone. If I could ask Sadie to go through roll call to establish officially our quorum, be appreciated. Sadie?
Adrian Ackerman?
Present.
Ann Lopez?
Here.
Bryn Cooper?
Here.
Leanne Hernandez? Emily Tate?
Here.
Jim Guac?
Present.
Janet Fisher?
Here.
Maureen Lewick?
Here.
Melissa Brown Dominguez?
Here.
Nancy Fong?
Here.
Robert Clark?
Here.
Valerie Sanchez? Valerie Sip? Alicia Vasquez? Brandon Brella? Kathleen Velo.
Here.
Thank you, and you have a call.
Very good. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is introduction of guests and attendees. Do we have anyone who is not mentioned on the roll call that needs to be acknowledged? If we do have two folks, I believe, who are going to speak to call the audience.
Yes, and there's a couple guests here, Seth Arcosta, and then Vicki Mills was a panelist for.
Okay. Very good. Anyone else I need to acknowledge? With that, we will have our Pledge of Allegiance or a moment of silence. I will I'm going to start a 1 minute timer for us to have our moment of silence. Thank you. All right, thank you, everyone. Moving on to the next item, call to the audience. this is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals allow 3 minutes each. At the conclusion of the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who address the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. With that, I believe we have two members of the public who have signed up. Sadie?
Yes, the first person to sign up was Felix Lawrence.
All right, Mr. Lawrence.
Good afternoon. Banksy is one of the most famous and wealthy artists in the Western world. He's a very popular artist, and like many who work in the street art genre, he places his artwork in the public space without the permission of the property owner. And so he has to conceal his identity because his art's works are crimes. Now, why would an artist who is committing crimes be so immensely popular? Well, that's because the general public recognizes that in what we call public art, there is no freedom of expression. So if an artist wants to have freedom of expression, they need to commit a crime. And the general public thinks that this is necessary and justified, and that's why Banksy is so popular. I would like to address Cesar Acosta. He's here today because I sent Pacti's free wall resolution to the planning department. And then I got a response from his colleague there suggesting that his department give a presentation to PACTI. So I'm hoping that Mr. Acosta today can address the reason that he's here, and that is PACTI's free wall resolution and whether it will be included in the public, in the city's plan for this draft plan that they formulated. I pointed out to his department that the word freedom does not appear anywhere in the plan. It's a fairly large document, and freedom of expression isn't mentioned anywhere. And I also pointed out to his department that censorship has been a priority for this city for decades, and apparently that's not going to change because it's not addressed in the plan either. So I'm hoping that he'll address these points. I'm afraid he won't do it, but, you know, what can you do? Any member of this panel could ask him questions following his presentation. I'm hoping that this panel could also ask about this committee's own resolution, which it adopted about 3 years ago. In other news, the city's Department of Housing and Community Development says it has no documents related to the Sugar Hill mural. In November, I submitted a public records request, and after 3 months, they responded to the address, to the request, saying that they have no documents. The city has a automatic feature of its email system, which destroys emails after 90 days. So by waiting 3 months, the documents that I requested were destroyed. Now, in Administrative Directive 7, under roles and responsibilities, it says that each city department should handle contracts and payments to the artists. And the fact that Housing and Community Development does not have any of those documents means that the Arts Foundation handled contracts and payments, which is not in compliance with Directive 7. Now, if this committee is in the mood to do its job and provide oversight to this process, you might inquire as to why the Directive 7 simply is not being followed. And this is all, this was also true for Parks and Rec for the Santa Rita Park decoration project. Anyway, those are my comments today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. And then our other person who signed up for Call of the Audience, Sadie?
Yes, the other person who signed up was Abel Aguilar. And let me give him the opportunity to speak. There we go.
Okay. So I know that my request is not going to be covered again, which is very shameful. But I'm going to read a quote by from a post from Sadie, actually, which brought me to many questions. So, quote, longstanding problems that plagued the district, like low proficiency rates, loss of enrollment, and lack of accountability and transparency, concerns the findings of our internal audits. I won't hide the problems that have drowned the district for the last 20 years in order to paint a rosy picture for the public. I know how to treat people with dignity and respect, whether I agree with their opinions or not, and whether they offer me the same courtesy. Unfortunately, these traits is missing in many of our elected officials who would rather go to war with the public instead of coming to an understanding when questions are asked or harsh truth needs to be dealt with, end of quote. So that brought me to, it's so curious to me when I read this post, when she speaks about dignity and respect, hard truths to deal with, low income, hearing the sounds of no's, the lack of transparency and accountability, sounds very familiar to what I'm going through with the Arts Foundation and the city of Tucson. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions to me based on this is sounding to me so ironic. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Members of the committee, any commentary? Hearing none, thank you, gentlemen, for your comments. We'll move on to item five, committee member activity report. This is an opportunity for those of you on the committee who have events or activities that you want to make aware to the remainder committee members. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the dedication of the rodeo mural last 2 weeks ago, almost. It was a great little event. Our work and our review of the material was mentioned in a kind of a fun and positive light. I don't know if I saw any of you else there, but the rodeo is starting next week, so hopefully you can get your spurs on, and I'll see you there, because I tend to like to go to the first rodeo of the year. So 100th anniversary Tucson Rodeo. With that, anyone else have any activities or comments for the benefit of the rest of the group? Hearing none, we'll move on. Item 6, Public Art Director's Report. Willwood.
Thank you very much, Jim. Chair Block. Can you all hear me okay? Great.
Yes.
So the public art report went out today. Did everyone get a chance to read it? Do you want me to steal a screen share? Any preference? You all read it? Okay. So I'll just go over a couple of highlights. Actually, you know, I'm going to share it because there's something at the bottom that I want to show you all. Sorry, I hope this won't take too long. Okay. Hopefully you're just seeing just that screen and not all of my work. So I wanted to start with addressing, you know, the federal budget cuts nation, and I'm happy to report that at this point we're good to go.
When your audio is cutting out a little bit.
Oh. Okay.
How's that?
Sounds better.
Okay. So these federal budget cuts that are affecting most nonprofits, especially in the arts, aren't going to make any immediate impact on us, so we can continue moving forward with the work we're doing. Our program, the work we do is for the city of Tucson, so that is, a different funding stream. So we're safe with that. I'm happy to keep moving forward with y'all. But I would also like to take this time to talk about some comments that were made during the call to the audience last month that were incorrect. And I'd just like to note that this is something that we may be doing, you know, every time we hear some facts that, or some comments that are incorrectly facted, and this in no way goes to discredit anyone that's making the comments. This is purely just factual, and we want to be as transparent, as clear as possible. Most of this information is, you can find on our website. If not, a lot of it is in the BCCs, because that's where this is all recorded. So everything we talk about here, everything you've approved and looked at, is in those records. So those things can be found there as well. The first thing was, audience members stated an artist who has received over $100,000 in projects for each year for 3 years in a row is incorrect. No commissioned artist has received that level of funding ever under our knowledge. And the artist in question, we believe, was Panaceas, who has been awarded 4 public art projects since 2022. Totaling 106,345. That would be the Thrive in 05 project. $54,000 was awarded to 3 different artists. That was the first Thrive project. It was one of those artists, the Utility Box Art project, $3,500 to 5 artists. She was one of those artists. The Sugar Hill Banner project, which is a neighborhood identity project, was $10,000. And the most recent one is Gunny Park, which is awarded 38
6,845. As you know, all of those projects, as in every one of our projects, there's a new panel, community panel, created, assembled through the recommendations of the ward and local stakeholders for members that live or work near the project site that are on each of those panels that are different. There was a comment about Sunset Road being granted to Jessica. We think that is Jessica Gonzalez, but that project was actually awarded to Carol Clement. Mm-hmm. And also there's a comment about the Dia de los Muertos project at the mall. We did not do that. That was a soccer project. We don't do a lot of private works, but we're hoping to get in the art and private development world. A lot of opportunities there. But that project was at Park Place Mall, and that one was actually painted by Jessica Gonzalez. Other than that, we have three projects I talked about last time coming up: Christopher Columbus Park, Robert A. Price Park, Ward 2, and I don't know if I mentioned this one, but Udall Park, Ward 2, sorry, Robert A. Price Park, Ward 4, Udall Park in Ward 2 is the new one. It's a big project. They're actually really focusing on accessibility. So I'm going to scroll down past our public art work plan to the bottom, because I made a new little addition here. So instead of just a list, you can see little pictures and more information about the project. The project summaries are literally copy and pasted from the Prop 407 website, so that's why they're pretty basic. But Udall Park is interesting because they're really focusing on accessibility. So they're putting in, I'm not going to get this right, I think it's called like a universal playground. So it's accessible for all and multiple levels. And it's early in development. It's early in start. So we're trying to get the artists on board soon. As you can see, it's a very big budget, 122.597. But if we can get the artists on board, working with the landscape architects and the architects of the whole space, we can use that funding to integrate public art into all aspects of it and consider how we can make that public art available for folks of the blind and deaf community. And we're only able to do that by getting ahead of the projects and trying to integrate accessible artworks at the beginning. So I just wanted to share that. If you're interested in joining that panel or know some folks that are in Ward 2, Kathleen, Velo, I'll probably be reaching out to you. That's your ward. And that is it for me. Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you, Owen. I do like the concept of getting public artists involved and integrated with the design teams. I kind of see that as a force multiplier or something like that. I know that when you think about it, some of our great public art projects like the Diamondback Bridge, in particular, and the Basket Bridge near it, are ones where, you know, the artist commission was relatively humble, but the impact and the whole project ended up being an art project in and of itself. And I just think it's great that the project sponsors can get to the Arts Foundation early enough to get the public artists involved at the inception of the planning work so that these kind of things can be exploited and things that would otherwise have to be built anyway, we get to add to the kind of public art impact associated with them. So thank you with that. I see Adrienne's got her hand up, and so does Corinne. So Corinne, you're first on my list.
I just wanted to say that I very much appreciated the information that was provided in Wellwyn's report this month, and I think it's a good reminder for everyone that we are not the people who select the artists for the individual programs, that the local communities are members of the committee that selects the artists and has input into the art, and that we do not do that, and I I made that comment during our last meeting, but I think it was, for reasons I'm not clear, out of order.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I also wanted to say thank you to Lilwyn. I really loved the intro to your newsletter this month. It was really thoughtful. And I just had a clarifying question because I know you had mentioned that there is the kind of like data around who awards are going to publicly available. And I could find them on like a project by project basis, but I was just curious if there's a spot where they are listed aggregate for a year or, if there's one place to find all that information.
Thanks for your response, Adrian. I appreciate it. Yes and no. There are, because we use a project software, management software to, you know, see everything, but that is very much an internal working software program. But I can talk to the team about how that could be more visible. You know, maybe that's something that's part of our annual public art plan that you see. I mean, that's planned for the future, but maybe that'll inform the future by seeing, what's happened in the past. So, I appreciate it. And I definitely think that's something we can consider maybe adding to next year's public art plan, which we'll be putting together in June because it's a fiscal year.
Yeah, thank you. I just wonder if that might also address some of the concern, like these kind of like misconceptions and concerns that we're hearing come up, if they can just be more accessible to verify.
Yeah, you're right. Or even someone mentioned, I don't know if it was last time or before, some sort of FAQ, and that would be helpful because maybe the concerns and questions would be resolved right through there without having to come to this committee. And so great suggestions. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions that Lilwyn on his report?
I just wanted to say, Lilwyn, that we have talked about this issue repeatedly over the time that I've been on the PACD, that we want to make sure that we're drawing the widest net possible so that a wide variety of artists receive the opportunity to create public art. And that's something that the members of the committee have raised, not just members of the public, but obviously members of the committee. And to the extent that we had that information available to us, it would help us make sure that we are doing a good job at selecting. I know we're not selecting, but that our committees are recommending and that we are approving a very wide variety of artists.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, one thing to note, the panels, the public panels, when they get to finalists, those finalists, or the panel is told about those finalists works, commissioned works with us or in Tucson. So if they got like 6 commissions in the last however many years, that the panel's aware of it, is made aware.
Great, thank you. I just know in my career working with Tucson Pima Arts Council, Arts Foundation, that they have made a special effort to make sure that the opportunities for public art is well advertised and that we don't show any preferences for those artists, and specifically I'm kind of getting that, having geographical preference. Again, my neighbor, who is a public artist locally here in Tucson, got to enjoy a commission for the big in Boston, because I think part of it is that we're not restrictive to keep people international as well as statewide folks from competing for our projects locally as well. And I think it just puts our public artists out there and gives them, I think, at least some leg up in some respects, with respect that they're coming from a community that is open and embracing of public artists no matter where they're from. And likewise, I think the communities that they've been successful in getting their public art, I think, reflect that to some degree. So, all right. Any other comments on the Public Art Director's Report, item 6? Well, thank you for those who did make comments, and thank you, Lilwyn, for your report. With that, I will move on to item 7, review and approval of the January 15th meeting minutes. So entertain a chair and a second, and then if there's any discussion, we can entertain that. So do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Ann Lopez moves to approve. Do we have a second?
This is Corinne. I'll second.
Thank you, Corinne. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, Sadie, could you do a roll call, please?
Oh, sure. Adrienne Ackerman?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Lorraine Cooper?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez? Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Glock?
Approved.
Janet Fisher?
Approve.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown-Dominguez?
Approve.
Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Robert Clark?
Approve.
Valerie Sanchez? Valerie Sipp? Alicia Vasquez?
Approve.
Brandon Varela? Kathleen Vivo? Kathleen, are you still in the room? Oh, you're on mute. Do you approve?
Approve.
Okay, thank you. So you have a unanimous approval, and just for the record, Alicia Vasquez entered the room at 3:36.
Very good. Thank you. With that, we're going to move on to item 8, presentation on Plan Tucson. Presentation discussion on the City of Tucson's draft of the upcoming voter-approved Plan Tucson draft. With that, we have a guest here to present, Cesar Acosta. Floor is yours, or the screen.
Thank you, Mr. Glock. I appreciate your time. Hello, PAC-D. Appreciate y'all having me today. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us to tell you a little bit about the general plan, Plan Tucson 2025. Excuse me while I try and click some buttons and get a shared screen going. Let's see here. Got that. All right. I think that one is there. Now I just need to click the button for present. And are y'all seeing the presentation?
Yes.
Great. So again, my name is Cesar Acosta. I'm a principal planner in Planning and Development Services Department with the City of Tucson, and I'm project manager on Plan Tucson. It's been a real great pleasure to work on this. General plan, if you weren't aware, really is just a vision statement. So every 10 years, we are state mandated to have a document that is a long range plan for the city. It's intended to cover things like land use management, transportation, water resources, traffic. The larger a city grows, the larger that list becomes. So for a city of our size, it also includes things like safety for park space and open space, and because we have an airport, it also includes traffic air regulation. But it also is, more importantly, supposed to be a document that answers the question, what kind of city do we want to be? It's very broad-based general language, and it's supposed to just provide the guidance for all the decision-making that happens across the city. So when boards and initiatives, when projects, when capital improvements, when more specific and functional plans are developed by the city, council asks the question, is it in compliance with the general plan? So that's what this one is supposed to do. And to make sure that it is a document that is reflective of the people, we have been in more or less a year and a half of continuous community engagement, trying to work with folks to make sure that this updated version of our 2013 general plan is in line with where the city wants to see itself going in the next 10 years. And it also reflects our current conditions as well. So in early 2023, we were really just asking simple questions. We were out with Kate with clipboards. We were out at public events. And we hit a broad stretch of the community asking questions like, what do you like about Tucson? What do you not like about Tucson? What do you want to see preserved? What do you want to see changed? And we had some 2,000 plus responses, 2,000 individuals respond to us in that first round, and it kind of formed our core themes that we worked within. So we had a group working on community resources, another group working on economic vitality, another group on climate action and green space, another for neighborhoods, housing, and urban design, and another one on transportation, access, and mobility. And those five theme groups worked for an additional 6-7 months. A group of around 760 community residents who didn't just answer one set of questions, but came together about 18 times altogether over the course of that time to really think about what the goals and policies of our plan should be. And that led us to about the summer of last year, where we were working to put it all together. And in December of last year, we were able to issue our first draft of the plan. So this is our first draft, the preliminary draft of the updated plan Tucson. It's broken up into five chapters. The first chapter, let's see if my PowerPoint's going to work out. Sorry. First chapter really goes over introductory material, kind of just what a general plan is, how the city uses it, how it relates to all of our other more specific plans. And then chapter two is kind of a tour guide section. So if you have someone who's coming to visit Tucson, or if you know anyone who wants to relocate here, this is the chapter I'd guide them to. It covers things like our history all the way from our Hohokam roots to today in very broad stretch. And then a list of current conditions. So things like our current housing trends, current traffic conditions, our water usage, and how we interact with our environment. It also includes a list of our cultural resources and a map of where they are, located, and how cultural economy interacts in the city. And then we also have a list of current development trends and changes that have occurred over the last 10 years. Chapter three really is where the bulk of the document lives. So that's our values, goals, and policies. There are 14 goals that have been created over the course of the year and a half we've been working on this plan that cover the broad stretch of everything that the community has told us is important to work on and to focus in. And then each of those goals have their own set of policies. Some of those policies appear in multiple goals because we really do believe that there's an interrelation between all of these efforts. What affects housing will affect transportation. What affects transportation will affect our environment. What affects our environment will affect our water. And what affects our economy affects our culture and our historical preservation. So all these things really tie together, and the policies reflect that. Chapter four is on our future growth. So it includes things like our tool called the Future Growth Scenario Map, which is intended to provide guidance for where we hope to see changes in development over the next 10 years and the different kind of characters that we hope to see put into those parts of town. But really what it's trying to get at is the fact that in the next 10 years, according to projections from the PMA Association governments, we're expecting some 24,000 residents to move into the city of Tucson. So how do we make sure that we accommodate all that extra growth, all the housing needs that they have, the current housing needs we have as we face a housing shortage and increasing costs for housing? How are we going to help our neighbors who are transitioning out of homelessness? So the questions for how do we accommodate all of that growth and how do we make sure that it is consistent with the kind of character we want to develop in the city to make sure that we still stay Tucson, it's discussed a lot in that chapter. The last one is implementation. The question we get most on this section is how do you track these very wide overarching goals? And in truth, like, the general plan is not the best place to do it because the goals and policies of the general plan are very broad-based. They're intended to provide guidance for a general direction over the next 10 years. So our mechanism for making sure that we can track progress and change and that we're heading in the right direction is to focus in on the specific functional plans that exist in our city already. So we have a plan on housing, we have a plan on transportation, we have the new Somos cultural plan, which hopefully will help guide how we can better celebrate and support different arts and culture in the community. All these specific and functional plans are meant to be our implementation. So we made sure to show how all of the policies that are in Plan Tucson are tied into those specific plans, and then we provide a list of all of them. And then we also provide a section of projects that will occur in the next 3 to 5 years, the next 5 to 7 years, the next 7 to 10 years, to be kind of more concrete examples of how we show we're moving forward. So again, these are the 14 goals that we have in the plan. And today I really want to focus in on goal 11, which is foster and promote Tucson's art, culture, and heritage. I'm happy to talk about any of these goals since they are, all of them have, reflect the values of our community. But for this board in particular, I thought this one would be the most germane. So it is foster promote Tucson's arts and culture. We work with the city manager's office and the folks who have been developing the Somos cultural plan to make sure that the policies that we've described are in line with the work that they're doing. but then also make sure that we're covering the broad structure of things that the city is already doing. So policies in this area focus on things like cultural and historic preservation. We work with our community engagement and inclusivity to make sure people can understand and learn about all the different art and culture and community opportunities in the city. We talk about opportunities for promoting more expression and creativity, how we can partner and collaborate with nonprofit groups, with schools, with other entities to make sure that we are really touching all bases to where we can make sure that we can have this kind of one city community feel. And then how does tourism and our local economy and local community development impact our economy and how that plays in with our cultural resources? How do we best celebrate and utilize all these things as a way to bring folks in to appreciate them? And so before I go any further, I'm actually going to exit my PowerPoint and just pull up the plan. So this is in Chapter 3 where we have the section on Goal 11. And so it kind of the structure for each of these goal sections kind of gives a narrative. So going over what are the current conditions in the city relating to these goals. So in this one, we talk about a lot of different entities that have helped to preserve and celebrate and promote culture in the community and some of the work that they've done. So we talked about the Arts Foundation and some of the grant writing that they did during COVID. We talked about some of the history of the community and how we've used that, how art has influenced how we celebrate our history. Talk about the UNESCO City of Gastronomy and how that has been a really big boost to our food culture in the community. We talk about, the All Souls Procession, which is my number one favorite event in the year, and how it's such a big part of our community, and a lot of the other different cultural events that we have that bring people together to celebrate. We talk about our sports culture, and so the different teams and local community events that we have there, and then how they tie in with our creative economy. So what that translates to as far as how our city grows and how our city generates jobs for folks. So we include this graphic here. This comes from Somos Uno, helped us develop that. And then we talk about what we can do to continue to enhance and celebrate our culture in the community. So again, we have this implementation, the specific plans that have more metrics and more of a focus in time period, so like a 1 to 5 year range for what specific project can be done when. And the Somos Uno and Parks Master Plan are the ones that have that really the focus for this goal 11. And then we have our policies that are specific to this goal. So just to go through a few of them, culture one, so one policy we have, improve the quality of life and the mobility of the community through arts by supporting avenues of expression and creativity, through strengthen and enhance social, civic, and cultural participation. We talk about promoting multicultural understanding through public programs. We talk about goal six, policy six there is capitalize on the city's gastronomy designation to promote and sustain our diverse local restaurants and food sources. We talk about drawing visitors into the community. And as I said, there are crossover goals. So policies that are specific to historic also influence and help support what the goal is here for enhancing our cultural support. So that's a brief look at that section. I'm going to go back to my presentation, click on the button. And over the month of January, we've been talking with community members. So we held about 6 events in person, 4 virtually. We met with a lot of different boards and commissions over that period, and then also held opportunities for folks to host their own meeting and provide resources for them to be able to get us materials back with their feedback in response to the preliminary draft. So this is some of the feedback we got from folks about Goal 11 in particular. So we saw that the narrative had produced some questions about like, oh, we have never heard about the Mosaic Quarter. Can we give more description about that? We heard some suggestions on the policy language within the chapter or within that goal, saying that we should have more partnership and with different entities and businesses. Some saying to have more creative spaces. This last one here, says to remove, saying some suggestions on language to change and remove. And as Mr. Lawrence said during the beginning of this discussion, we didn't have the mention of freedom anywhere in our document. That actually turns out to be true. I did a control F sign. But we do, but the word freedom is not the only way to say freedom. We talk about expression, we talk about creativity, we talk about access and availability of resources. We talk about making sure that people in the community have the ability to engage with not only the city, but with each other. And we try to promote and create spaces where that is possible and where creativity can really thrive, not just for the individual, but as a community. So we kind of provide space, both physically and metaphorically, that we have the space for people to create together. So it's a big desire within this particular goal and overall. We did receive a letter about the free wall. It is not referenced as a policy or as an implementation within this goal. But I think my question for y'all is that something that we do want to include? And really, I want to use the rest of our time that I have with you, where if you can give me, we've closed our engagement period, but we're still openly working on revisions right now. So we want to make sure and have that opportunity to get more feedback from y'all. But yeah, last thing we'll say before I get to questions is just that we're intending on having revisions done soon. We're like grinding them out as we speak. But March 12th and March 19th, we're going to the Planning Commission for a set of public hearings. Those are open to the public and open for engagement. So we really encourage all of you to come out if you haven't had a chance to read through our preliminary draft, or you'll have a chance to read through our revised draft come in early March. And so any feedback you can give about the document, things you'd like to see improved, changed, or taken out, we want to hear about it. Because the idea is that after we get through our public hearings in mid-March, we'll go back to the drawing board and revise again for a final draft that'll go to Mayor and Council in late April, early May. So we still got a ways to go. You know, like, I don't want to give the impression that we're, you know, done talking to the public. We pretty much won't be up until the very end in November of this year, when you as voters will decide whether or not this is the plan that we have that's, that tells our city what we want to be. And that's a lot of talking on my end, so I'm going to go ahead and shut up and open it up to questions.
Well, thank you for a very thorough presentation. Off the top of my head, I don't have any questions, although I was very intrigued with the financial impact of the arts on our economy within the region, and it'd be fun to have that sourced to know where that number came from. Just for my own hip pocket as I go out there and I champion our causes, so because I'm involved in more than this particular organization, I mean this particular committee on public art activities. So but anyway, great work. Let's open it up for questions. Corinne, you're first in line. Adrian?
Did you call on me, Jim?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Costa, I found this totally fascinating, but I am hearing impaired, and so I rely upon the closed captions to catch what you are saying, and they're not entirely reliable. Is there? No, it's not your fault at all. We're lucky to have closed captions, to tell you the truth. But is there a website where I could read a draft of this plan and then maybe go back as it gets updated so that I could have a better understanding of what you were describing to us? Because going back and forth between the text that I saw and the closed captions, I missed quite a bit of the impact.
So, Ms. Corrine, how I am so grateful you asked that question. I am going to drop in the chat right now. He said actually looking for the chat box. I don't know.
There's no chat. It's a public meeting. We can't have a separate quorum.
Oh, bummer. Okay, well, then I'll just say this. If you Google Plan Tucson, it'll be the first thing that pops up is plantucson.org. Our website, we worked hard to maintain any new updates we have. So a full copy of the preliminary draft is there, as well as individual chapters as well. So if you don't want to read through the full 235-page document, you can focus just on the much shorter 144-page Chapter 3. That's where we have our goals, values, and policies. And thank you so much for asking that. And I will try to talk slower. It is definitely something I'm working on to try and slow down. I mumble a lot.
And then, Corinne, I did send out the link for Plan Tucson on January 13th. And I could send it out again to the committee if that would be helpful.
I am so sorry if I missed it, but I did not catch the link at that time.
No worries. I'll send it out again.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sadie. Amen, you have your hand up.
Yeah, this is a trend. Corinne goes first.
Yeah. You got to be quicker.
No, that's fine. I love Corinne going first.
Okay.
Often says what I'm thinking. Thank you so much for this presentation. A question and then a comment. Just curious, you know, I'm really interested, and I imagine a lot of my colleagues and peers on this committee who are interested not just in, like, public art as it's traditionally conceptualized, but also community design as, like, an active and iterative process. I want to read through Plan Tucson and provide comment, but maybe in a richer context than just, like, a public hearing might allow with time limits and whatnot. And I'm wondering if it might behoove, like, the planning department to have, and I don't know what this might risk in terms of, like, quorum or like open meeting laws, Sadie or Jim, but I'm just curious, like, if there were a number of us on this committee that wanted to have a follow-up meeting or like a meeting that was just about providing our feedback on how artists and community members may be engaged in the process, like in the long term, not just informing how the plan is developed, but how it iterates and how it continues to become more sustainable as it's implemented. I think that would be a really interesting conversation, and I think there's a lot of depth and breadth of expertise on this committee and maybe some others that the city and county hold that could, I don't know, be beneficial in that process if you're still in those stages. So I just wanted to offer that. And if something like that occurs, I'd love to be a part of it. And then the other thing, just going to your question about the free wall. Yes, please. Is my comment.
Okay.
That. And I will say that, not sure if you probably are aware if you've been, talking to, Mr. Lawrence, but, Jim and I had a meeting with the mayor's office several months ago, and, we know that it's on the docket for the city attorney's office to look at the feasibility of a free wall, but we know there's a lot of other stuff that's taking precedence. So even if it's by way of the planning department being able to get to that answer a little bit more quickly than this committee has been able to, it would be really interesting to me to find out. And I for one, follow in the legacy of this committee's advocacy for that, for a free wall being created, and if there's a way to put it into this plan, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I'm glad I could get confirmation on that. So part of what we're doing right now is revising to add new policies and part of the narrative sections for the plan. So because this is an aspirational aspect for something we'd want to see happen in the next 10 years, it's something that I want to really include as a kind of a closing paragraph or closing entry of this goal section, to say these are initiatives we want to carry forward. So this is the perfect one to kind of say as an example that we want to see in the next, in the future. So I'm really glad I can use this, have your sign off to say that this is a good one to use. I do encourage you all to look at the policies that we have for culture. Like there are not as many, like land use, for instance, has 24 policies. I think culture has 12. So they're easier to go through. And if you find that any of those are insufficient or don't really hit what they need to, give me a holler. What I will say is that, as I said, our engagement period closed. So we're not taking all the public feedback as much anymore, and we're working on revisions. But for the revised draft that we'll have, so after the 20th of March, we'll be opening up for comments to get final additions for our final draft, right? So that's a good time if you wanted to meet as a group again to more holistically go over changes or any additions we'd want to include into the plan. That'd be the time to do it. So really hope that we can work together on that. But this is very helpful to me. Yeah. Ms. Green.
I have a question for Willwin on that. Is that something that our newly created subcommittee could address, since it seems to engage the question of public education and involvement?
Thanks, Corinne. Yes, I think so. I mean, the main thing with that requirement is educating the public by means of this committee. So, yeah, I think so. Thanks for thinking of it.
All right. Well, that was great presentation. Just as a reminder to get on top of this, it is going to be on the ballot in November. So these guys are working under deadlines. As Cesar pointed out, that the public comment open period is closed, but the draft will be open, and there are hearings being held where you can let your viewpoints be known. There was a question regarding whether we had open meeting law issues associated with assembly of PACD members to sit down with you and discuss things, and I'll take a run at this, and then Sadie will set me straight. So, but we can't have a majority of the PACD membership assembled and discussing PACD items at one place at one time. And if so, I mean, I think then we would need to make sure that it's properly noticed and people could have the opportunity to participate and so on and so forth. Certainly all of you individually can speak to them. If you want to speak on behalf of the Public Art and Community Design Committee, then we do have to agendize it. So nothing wrong with that, and we can certainly entertain it, but I just kind of want to remind everyone, you know, the open meeting law is to make sure that discussions and deliberations are made out in the open, that there aren't, you know, conversations happening between members that aren't necessarily occurring in the public light. So if I wasn't straying too far, and say he doesn't need to jump in, are there any other questions on this particular item? And thank you. What a great presentation. Is this presentation also at the website that you referenced?
It is not, but I'm happy to send you a copy.
Okay, well, send it to Sadie, and she can distribute it as appropriate. So, thank you. Any further questions? Sadie, do you have to clarify anything I said?
I think you were pretty right on, but two members can meet and discuss, potential business or things art-related, as long as they don't loop in anyone and say their plans.
So. Thank you. Great. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. You're supposed to be working on this plan, not talking to us, but you talk fast, so you took care of it quickly, which I appreciate.
Well, thank you again, Chair. And last thing I'll say is just that thank you all so much for having the interest to talk about the plan. This is something that only happens once every 10 years, and there are 500,000 people live in the city of Tucson. In the last election, some 60,000 people decided the outcome of a document that has lasted since 2013. And the number of people who participate and give us feedback on it is even less. So I just want to say that your voices really do make an outsized impact and influence on what this document will be. And so I just want to say thank you so much for being ones to care about how arts is described in the city.
Very good point. 2,000 out of 500,000 of comments that you received. At least we have that many people engaged. I guess I should look at the glass being half full. So again, thank you so much for your time. Committee members, anyone else have an observation or comment they'd like to make? With that, I will move on to item 9. Art selection, La Madera Park. Presentation discussion of the panel recommendations of Maxie Adler. And I guess, is Maxie here? I believe we have Ariel slated to discuss this item, so you're on.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I'm going to share my screen. Is everyone seeing that? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'll push present, now it's doing something weird. Do you see the side stuff too? Let's see. I'll just go ahead and, it's become more difficult every time to share a screen All right. Here we have share screen. Is everyone seeing the larger?
Yes.
One. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So this is the artist selection process for the La Madeira Park Public Art Project. This is a small neighborhood park in Ward 3, and its public art is being funded by the Proposition 407 Parks and Connections Bond. Next slide. Okay. So this is our, this is exciting because it's our first splash pad public art opportunity. We will have the selected artists be creating a design and installing a mural on the ground of the splash pad. It's a small budget of $16,600, which will cover all the costs related to the artwork, including the artist fee and community engagement with the panel, fabrication and installation. This is the public art panel for the project. I believe we have Vicky here with us today. As you can see, the community members in this panel are all Ward 3 residents. Most of them are users of the park. And this is also our second roster artist project. So the panel in November and December of last year reviewed the roster, which you all helped select the artists for. And in the artist selection one meeting in December, they selected three finalists. And in January 29th, the artist selection two meeting, they selected one of those artists, who's Maxie Adler. She's a Tucson-based artist who works in a variety of creative mediums, including painting, weaving, dyeing, and printing. These are a couple of her murals in town. On the left is the Blenman Elm mural, and on the right is a mural at Mission Gardens. And these are some of her utility box art. On the left, in this one is in Tempe. And then on the right, some of you may recognize this is our last artist roster project, the utility box wraps. And the panel for La Madeira Park was really interested in Maxie's work specifically because of the way she spoke about her connection to the environment and how she brings that into her artwork, as well as they really loved her use of bold lines and color. So that's my presentation, and I'll open it up for questions and comments.
I'm going to make one additional comment. Because this is a splash pad artwork. For some are doing it because, as you would imagine, painting on the surface of where water is going to be all the time is going to be a challenge. But that's why there's specific paint that the city uses. We are finally able to catch a project ahead of time to make it art design using that paint versus just them painting it the whole thing. So there's a lot of limitations with color and detail when painting a splash pad with the surface. So they like Max's work because it's high contrast, it's bold, and it will reflect the artist's designs more than like a hyper-real image or a photograph or something like that.
Great. Thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Wilwin. Again, La Madeira Park is north of Glen, east of Tucson Boulevard. If you ride a bike around, you know, the treat bike, what's turning into the Treat Bike Boulevard that gets you from Himmel Park up to the Loop, takes you right by this thing. I enjoy being half a block away from the splash pad in Catalina Park, and I'll tell you, they're big draws. Families love them, kids love them, so it'll be a very well-exposed facility, and it's great to see. Again, another one of these cases where you got in ahead of it so that the public art gets to be integrated with the project as opposed to be a set aside type of thing that isn't as well integrated as it possibly could, and so its impact will be all that much greater. So with that, further discussion, and then if there isn't, then I'll entertain motions to approve. But with that, open it up for questions.
Does Ariel, does Vicki have anything that she'd like to add as a panelist, or not at this time?
Oh, yeah. Or Vicki? Yeah.
One other thing that she really emphasized was she loves water. And so she was so very excited to be working with a project that involved water.
Cool.
Yeah. And she just gave a very delightful, heartfelt presentation. And she won us over.
Great. Thank you, Vicki. Any other comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none. Hearing none. Chair will entertain a motion to approve.
This is Maureen. I'll make a motion to approve the artist Maxie Adler for La Madera Park.
All right. Maureen Lorraine.
Bob Clark second.
Bob Clark second. Maureen made the motion. Any further discussion? See how long I can accept everyone being quiet before I go nuts. Anyway, okay, hearing no comments, Sadie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, and before I do that, just want to clarify for the record that Melissa Brown-Dominguez has left the meeting, but that does not impact quorum.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Corinne Cooper?
Approve, and I thank the members of the committee for their service.
Leanne Hernandez? Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Guak?
Approve.
Janet Fisher?
Approve.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown-Dominguez? Nancy Fong?
Approve.
Robert Clark?
Approve.
Valerie Sanchez, Valerie Sip, Alicia Vasquez,
approve.
Brandon Varela, Kathleen Vivo,
approve.
Thank you, and you have unanimous approval.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. So with that, we've covered item 9. We'll move on to the public art highlight. Again, this is on our agenda to just kind of note, we've got a lot of public art projects out there that even throughout my decades being involved with public art, you can't keep up with all of it. So with that, Willen, this is yours.
Thank you, Jim. So I wanted to introduce this new addition to our meeting. So many of you that were here last year remember using time for the committee to look through our collection and talk about public art in there. District or near their neighborhood, and it was really positive and really great. I wanted to agendize something for every meeting that kind of does the same thing. You know, the hope is to end each meeting on a positive and hopeful note. But I also wanted to expand on the concept of what a public art highlight could be, so that it could be something where we're inviting artists and public art supporters that are working on other initiatives in Tucson, Pima County, outside of that even, to share and present on what they're doing, to keep all of our finger on the pulse. Is that what it is? On what's new and upcoming in the public art realm. And I think it'll be fun and exciting. So we do have something planned for next month. It's not locked in place, but we hope to have a guest artist speaker to talk about their successes and how their community engagement strategies are that get them to work with the community. So I look forward to sharing that. I don't have anything today. Sorry, the way it was written was wrong, and I apologize. But this is more like, guess what? We're going to start doing this thing, but we're not doing it yet. We're going to start next month.
Good enough. So send your public art, favorite public art projects to Willen.
Yes.
And again, maybe give me a little background so you have some intrigue. Like one of my favorites, who here has heard of the sand trout? Anyone? See, there is one very, very cool public art piece that has some Tucson folklore associated with it. So slip those kinds of public art projects that you're aware of that you think would be fun and a great way to end the meeting to Wilwin, and we'll get them on the agenda for subsequent meetings and have a great time with them. So
yes, please, and thank you. And Jim, it sounds like you got something on the dock ready to go. So I look forward to hearing
from you. Oh, just an idea. I have to get out there to see what, how the sand trout are looking, but anyway, I've been involved with a lot of public art projects, so if you ever have a time where you're looking for a project, I can probably dream one up, because I had the opportunity to get involved with gazillion. Oh, for example, one of the first public art projects the city did was to commission Melody Peters to cast tiles for the Ronstadt Transit Center. And Melody's still an active public artist in our community, and she took a little whimsical flair that I don't think is known even to many except for us in the know. But the next time you're downtown at the Ronstadt Transit Center, and granted that may be out of the way for some of you, but if you look at the terracotta tiles that are on the arcade through there, this is a Where's Waldo type of exercise. There are two tiles with Wilbur and Wilma. Now, I can't tell the difference between Wilbur and Wilma, but then I couldn't tell the difference between Wilbur and Wilma in the wild anyway, but they are there. And so you got to look around and see if you can find them, because they are there. So, and if you're a Wildcat fan and you're like whimsical little things that the artists can throw into their work, that's one of our first and one of my kind of hidden secrets that I kind of challenge my friends to go and see if they can find them. So, with that, any other questions on public art highlight future agenda items? All right. Hearing none, item 11 is request additions for future agenda. I think we have a list of stuff that Leanne Hernandez and I are working on that we've heard from you in the past, as well as staff. Oh, don't ask me to recite them. Don't ask staff to come up with them, because I'm kind of mentioning it top of the head right now. But if you do have something, feel free to mention it now. Feel free to shoot Sadie an email. Leanne and I will talk to staff about them in advance of next month's meeting and see what can be done to perhaps get them on the agenda, and we'll get back to you one way or the other, I hope, on that. So any requests, additions for future agenda? All right, hearing none. Item 12, adjournment. Thank you, everyone. Got shot a little early, maybe. So enjoy the gym show. Enjoy all the activities happening in the spring. Tucson is a busy place. Holy smokes, don't try to drive around. The traffic around downtown is horrible. So walk and take the bus or ride the streetcar if you can. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next month on the... Let's see, what is it? 12th of March. No, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Bye.